At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, hey, and welcome into the House of L podcast. I'm Lawrence Holmes. Thank you so much for being a part of House of L. We are brought to you by Remy Martin. Team up with excellence. I'm going to have all sorts of... I'm going to be like Santa Claus with some of this swag that I've gotten from Remy Martin. I was talking with my guy, Jim. I was like, Jim, I already got boxes in my house, man. I'm good. And like, no, you need more. And I said, okay. So we got some cool Remy Martin stuff that we can share with you. So I'm just going to figure out ways. I've been thinking about you guys naming episodes of the podcast after Bears games and with song names. And if I pick that song name, I'm going to send you a Remy gift basket, like stuff like that. Anyway, we'll get to that when we get to later on in the preseason and into the regular season for sure. But I did want to talk about the Bears, as we often do on the YouTube platform. If you're listening on House of L on Spotify or on Apple, we have a YouTube page. It doesn't cost you anything. I haven't gone over to Patreon or anything like that. But if you would subscribe, that would be great. The goal is to get to 10,000 before the season ends. And I think that's a pretty good goal. And we can get there. And I promise as we get closer to football season starting up, there's going to be a lot more content that's going to be in both places. But all of the football is going to be on YouTube. So you can see what's going on in my office. I think I'm going to change this. These are all, for those of you who don't know, these are all pictures like from my career that are back here, but you can barely see them. I know what they are and I love them. Like it's all different places that I've worked, like that one in the top left corner from your vantage point. Darren Georgia took that picture of me. He's a White Sox photographer and I adore it. There's me doing TV at NBC Sports Chicago, RIP. There's the actual Bears, the Grody Bear and the Emma Bear, because they were sent to me. I have two bears. Yeah. But I like the picture of those two bears. And there's people that I've worked with. Dan is in one of the pictures. Me, Dan, Layla, and Herbie, I think, is one of the pictures. There's the interview with Brandon Johnson in there. But I think I'm going to change it. I got a little something. Finally got this in the mail. So once I get the gumption up to put that up on the... I think it'll pop back there. And I think it's perfect for the office. And then maybe I move those pictures over to this wall over here. I don't know. Or maybe inside, maybe actually inside the rest of the house. Who knows? But they are work photos, right? So I should probably just keep them in the office and look at them and be like, oh, I remember that. That was really cool. We had fun back in those days. Anywhoozle, let's talk about the Bears for a second. Growing up, I was incredibly impatient about things. And I would say probably from age 0 to at least age 30, I was impatient about things. As I've gotten older, as most people, when they get older, I do understand having more patience. Shout out to Axl Rose. Get my Axl Rose on. Yeah. Anyway, I understand where Bears fans are at to a degree. Y'all are like JG Wentworth commercials. It's my money and I want it now. That's what you're like with this quarterback situation. And I don't mean to laugh at you. I just am like, oh, we're going through a cycle of something yet again that feels very familiar. And because it feels familiar, there are some reflexive actions that happen inside of the fan base that I understand. Let me try to give you my point of view on Caleb Williams so far through camp. And they'll have a game this weekend, this Sunday night against Buffalo. They'll have the joint practice. They got all this stuff. And I just kind of wanted to give you my point of view. I think as coverage of football has grown overall, our thirst to learn more, which comes from a great place, but our thirst to learn more about football has led to the rise of what I like to call the industrial draft complex, where now there's so many different places that you can go to try and find out more about the draft. And you, as a consumer, have to figure out who you trust in these situations. And then you could build consensus a little bit on what is real and what is not real inside of the draft industrial complex. Everyone has an analyst. Everyone has a guy that's been breaking down tape of college players for 20 years. We're very lucky and to a certain degree spoiled in Chicago because of Pro Football Weekly. And having the magazine and then having the draft guide, we used to joke that that's the Bible. When you're looking at how the draft goes, like that's the Bible. Hub and Joe Buxbaum and everyone else, all those people that came out of there. I want to say it was, who else was in it? I think even like Jeff Agress, like there are a bunch of people who came out of there. Eric Edholm, like really smart, like football people came out of there. And I feel like their opinions on players, for the most part, there have been times when I've had big problems with how some words are used in scouting, depending on who the person is. But I feel like most people that were involved in the early days of this, even like the Mel Kiper Juniors of the world, were doing it from a very honest place where the goal was to educate you on who was coming out and what they were about, to allow for there to be a lot of networking and talking to people inside of college football and inside of pro football and see where there's a schism on a player. Like, why can a player succeed in college football and then struggle in the pros? What's the difference between the two games? All of that stuff is super valuable. But as media has grown and fragmented and grown and fragmented and grown and fragmented, everyone now is doing something like this. And I'm not sure that we are honestly in a place where it comes from a good place. I'm not saying that people are doing nefarious stuff. I just think that the thirst is so big for this. I always wonder if all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. That's a bigger issue, one that you might not even care about. But I want to give you some background on the way that I view some of this stuff. There's another media component, which I'll spend a little bit more time talking about later on in this episode, that I think is important. I mean, that not that I think is important, that I know is important to me. And it's the idea of integrity of thought. I want you to know, whether it's here or on the score, what you're getting from me is honest. It's how I feel. And usually that feeling I do back up with talking to people in sports. You would be surprised what my DMs and my text messages look like and who they're from. Okay. Trying to learn, even at this point, I actually think that I'm better about this now than I was when I was younger. like my educational experience over the last decade has really informed the way that I try to go about doing the job. And I'm not here trying to give you a little Barry Horowitz, you know, like a little pat on the back. I just want you to understand that one of my frustrations is when we get criticism as a station, like the Score gets criticism as a station, where you guys said blank about blank. No. And so that you know how it works, at least the Score. I can't speak to other places that I haven't worked at. But I do know at the Score, we're not sitting down with our bosses and they're like, this is what we have to push today. No. It's pretty simple, the formula that we use. And that formula is, what are the things that the most, if we were to ask 100 Chicago fans on what was important to them today, where would we get the largest group? And pretty much Bears conversation wins in that regard. The numbers bear it out. I love to talk about other stuff, but I also know that if I talk about, like, I love talking about the sky, for example, but I know out of that 100, there might be two or three people who are really interested in getting my sky thoughts. And the 30 people who were interested in my Bears thoughts are going to go someplace else. And yeah, to a certain degree, that's shitty. That we can't be everything to everyone all the time. We can't. There just isn't enough time in the day, and your favorite personalities or shows would eventually see their ratings dwindle and then they would go away. And then you'd be like, well, what happened to such and such? I love blah, blah, blah. And to that point, I always say, do you really? Did you go support their new ventures? Because you can say that, but you end up in the same place. You end up back in caring about big box media. And the Score is big box media on a local scale. It's a heritage brand at this point, especially for Chicago fans. Obviously, there are other places that you can go to go get some of that information. But that kind of goes back to my other point. And there's an issue of credibility. I think the consumer should test out the waters. I think that you should be looking for other people who are telling you about the teams that you care about. But one of the things that you have to ask yourself, if it's random guy on TikTok or random person on Instagram, what are the consequences for that person if they're faking the funk? Like, the consequences for me are a couple fold. The consequences for me are, one, I'm going to get absolutely destroyed on social media for not being credible. And two, eventually, it gets played out to kind of do the thing, and to do the sports radio thing. What I've enjoyed about the Score transitioning from being a listener when I was in high school to being a producer when I just finished college to being a reporter for a decade and being a talk show host since then, what I've appreciated is, overall, we don't always get it right. No one always gets it right. But overall, I feel like there's been an elevation of sports conversation. For the most part, and again, I could be wrong on some level on this, but I, as a consumer of the Score, I don't think so. For the most part, no one's doing a bit. Like, no one's coming in and like, hey, I'm the angry guy. and I'm just going to rant and rave and be angry or grr all the time. I do think there's a lot of grifting that goes on, and I get it. Like, people are trying to get paid, and there's a certain element of me that understands that and respects it. Like, hey, you figured out something that is entertaining, and the entertainment element is more valuable to you than maybe like the journalistic element. On that sliding scale, I'm probably a little bit closer to logic, reason, and journalistic integrity with a sprinkle of as much entertainment as I am capable of throwing into that mix. And I'm not saying one is right or one is wrong. All I'm saying is that for me, I enjoy that the people who I consume, I really like that they are coming from an honest place. And it's not, and the idea isn't just to titillate or spark rage or debate. In some cases, the job is to reflect the audience. In most cases, actually, the job is to reflect the audience. And that means getting to know your audience. I do think that now I'm like legitimately 30 years in the game, that I have an idea of what the sports radio audience in Chicago likes. And I don't mean to go Barry Horowitz on it, but it's played out from a rating standpoint. It's played out in like the, hey, I'm the best sports radio host guy, according to The Athletic in Chicago. I try to engage as much as I can, whether it's here or as much as I'm capable of now. I think the last 3 years on Twitter has been rough, and so I've pulled back a little bit. I still look. I'm still a voyeur. I just don't engage as much. I'm saying all of this to say our job, as far as I see it, is not to always have the pom-poms out. It's not, I take a lot of pride in not lying to you. There will be times when I don't speak because I don't want to lie to you. There will be subjects where I won't speak because I don't want to lie to you. And in some cases, me not speaking, I understand, sends a message, right? When it comes to bear stuff, I care about it deeply, not because of like the poster of Walter Payton and Jim McMahon. That part died in me a long time ago, like when I started covering the team. Here's what I figured out, though. I care about it because of you. Like, my job is to, in some cases, be a mirror. And in other cases, it's to help bridge the gap between the fan that's in their car that's trying to figure out what the hell is going on with the Bears and what I know about football from the years of working as a reporter, the conversations that you have with people, trying to learn the game, like every single day. Doing a talk show is not easy. It's fun, but it's not easy. And now that I've done it for a really long time, I'm reminded when I talk to people who haven't done it as long as I have on how difficult it is. And some of the things that you do that you don't even know that you're doing to grind and get yourself ready. Like watching Hard Knocks. Like, why am I watching Bill's Hard Knocks? Well, because there's football content in it and I can grow from it. But I digress. No, I don't digress. Real quick. Did y'all watch episode 1 of Bill's Hard Knocks? Go and watch it. Why is Deion Dawkins out here drifting with his kids in the car? And I get that it's a specially built drift car and everything. It still seems... Anyway, go watch that episode and then holler at me, houseofelpodcast@gmail.com. And you tell me if it's weird that I, as someone who doesn't have kids, was like, ooh, clutch the pearls. What are we doing over here? When it comes to cheering for the Bears and wanting the Bears to do well, I want you to know definitively, it is better for me when the Bears do well. It's been proven over and over and over again. Whether we're talking about the score or we're talking about House of L, financially, it is better for me when the Bears do well. With that incentive, you would think that I would embrace the idea of everything they say is great. It's just great and it's perfect. I'm not wired that way. And I tend to be drawn to people who are not wired that way. When the team's good, your interest is higher, which is great, which means you're going to seek out stuff like mine. You're going to seek out what Herb Howard is doing or Nicholas Moriano. Like, you're going to seek people out that are, can give you more Bears conversation. Hogan Johns, look at what they've built. Like, look at what those guys have built. It's incredible and it's great. The key for everyone that I'm talking about and beyond that, though, is that I'm not paid by the Bears. I'm paid by the score, and I'm paid by the company that I started, House of L. My responsibility, I feel like I have a responsibility to you in that regard, to tell you the truth as I see it. I often talk about this. When you get information, and this is the journalist in me, this is the guy that went to grad school, and this is the adding the academic stuff to what I experience in the real world of doing this. Often, when people tell you stuff, it's for an agenda. And your job, people in this that have the microphones, that if you care, like work for the big box media, like all that stuff. The job is to take that information and go, who benefits from this if I put this information out? Does that information jibe with what it is that I feel that I know about a particular situation? Here's what's interesting to me. Over the last 3 weeks, what's the word that we've been hearing about Caleb Williams? Processing. That's now become attached to him in a way that it wasn't last year. And so my skepticism, and to a degree cynicism, is like, hey, why has that word become synonymous with Caleb Williams lately? Is that really what people are observing? Or is that what they're observing plus what they're hearing? And where are they hearing it from? And why is it so loud? Now, the answer to that question might be Caleb's having a hard time processing. The other answer to that might be that people want you to think that he's having a hard time processing. For whatever reason, I trust a big portion of the Bears beat. There are some hardened journalists on that beat. And when you start adding their thoughts, like think about it. Biggs has covered the Bears for what, like 25, almost 30 years? Weederer has covered the Bears now for 13 years. Leisure's been here almost a decade now. Adam Hogue has been covering the Bears even when he was producing at the score. He was covering the Bears. There's a lot of people who have seen a lot of things, have seen a lot of training camp practices, have seen a lot of games, have seen a lot of coaches try to explain to you And sometimes they try to explain to you what you're seeing is not what you're actually seeing. I want you to go back for a second. And I want you to keep a lot of this stuff in mind. And I have a conclusion that I'm getting to, I promise you. I want you to go back to last year's training camp. And I want you to think about what people were saying last year at training camp about the Bears. People who don't work for the Bears. People who are not part of a Bears media deal. All of this stuff you have to keep in mind. All of it. I was talking with some friends about this, some friends in the industry about this morning. One of the reasons that I re-signed at the Score back in June was because
if you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I felt like that was still a place where you could say what you wanted to say. That you didn't have to worry about your job security based on your opinion of the team. And I know what you're saying already. Well, you guys are the Cubs station. Yeah, we have a rights deal with the Cubs. You're correct on that. The Cubs, outside of their programming, outside of when Pat and Ron and Zach are on the air, they have no editorial control of what it is that we do. None. I think that they're the model for how teams should approach this. We did have the Blackhawks at the Score a long time ago. We had the White Sox. We didn't have the Bears. Our sister station technically had the Bears. The Cubs as an organization, and I give them a lot of credit, they're not as sensitive as other teams have been in the history of sports and sports talk in Chicago. Theo set a really good template for it. And I think that for the most part, Jed has honored that template. I can't speak to Tom. I can speak to Tom, but I haven't spent enough time with Tom Ricketts to know where he falls on that scale. But I do think, and Mark Potash brought this up on Twitter a few weeks ago, and I think that he's right. He said that if you want to succeed in Chicago in a new media venture, then all you have to do is say rosy stuff about the Bears and you will succeed. And I think that there's some truth to that. I think people want to hear that everything is going great. But the flip side of that and the experience of that when it doesn't go great is, hey, why didn't you guys tell us about blah, 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 or blah, 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 or blah, blah, blah? Well, we did, but you didn't want to hear it. And it might have been because you have algorithmed yourself to only hearing the most glowing opinions about what's going on with whatever team that you root for. I'll give you a perfect example. For those of you who have been following this podcast for a long time, you know that I've fallen out of love with the White Sox. Yeah, culturally, they're still my team. Spiegs made that argument, and I think it's a great one by him. They're still my team. I still care about quite a few people who work over at 35th and Shields. And I care about Sox fans tremendously. The amount of mental gymnastics that is going on this year with the White Sox is absurd. The idea that just because a team isn't the worst team of all time, that they're now somehow good, when they're going to end up still losing 100 games this season. that everything is turned around, that the Titanic is turned around, that is bullshit. They are still a long way away from being interesting. And the part that everyone forgets with the history of the White Sox as an organization is at some point you have to spend money. If you're going to compete, at some point, you're going to have to make a move. You want to be the Rays? It's going to take you a decade. Because of what your organization has been for a decade. By the time that you get good players all the way around the diamond and you're not going to spend money in free agency, because the history is that you are not going to spend money in free agency. And if you do spend money in free agency, it's been bad money. But think about some of the messaging that's gone on with the White Sox. Oh, White Sox really look like they have done something. Fam, they have lost 8 out of their last 10. I'm watching every night. And I'm happy for Colson Montgomery. Can we wait till we get to 600 at-bats, though, before we deem him anything? Because last I checked, Gordon Beckham was phenomenal in his first year as a White Sox. And then what happened? Would it be awesome that a guy who went to hit school turned into an all-star? Hell yeah. Should you bank on that? Hell no. But that's also where we're at with Bears stuff. To reiterate, I do well financially when the Bears do well. And honestly, there is nothing better than Mondays in Chicago when the Bears win. Nothing. Nothing. Everything feels better. People are friendlier. We're all looking around. We're high-fiving each other. All that good stuff. But I think that we're at a very dangerous place when it comes to discourse on the Bears and teams overall. If the echo chamber is what you want, you can find it. And that's okay. Like, I get that there are times when you want to be soothed by what it is that you're hearing about your particular team. You would be surprised at how many people in the last week. I don't go out a lot in public. I've got stuff like when it comes to that now over the last few years. I am not as comfortable in public spaces as I used to be. But last week I was outside a little bit. Jay Illa, who's the Bears DJ, threw a day party at Promontory, and I even danced. There's even video of me dancing. And no, I am not going to share here on House of L. You can hit up Herb Howard for that. And I don't. You can laugh at me all you want. I had a good time, and a very pretty lady asked me to dance. So I danced. Anyway. You can find all of that stuff. I just want you to understand that the way I do it, and I'm only speaking for me, although I feel like, fine, I'll speak for more people. We have a bunch of people at the Score who have studied journalism, capital J. Whether in the classroom or in the school of hard knocks, don't dismiss them questioning what's going on with a team just because you want it to be better. We all want for it to be better. And that's the place where I'm starting from, is it would be awesome if the Bears are good. It would be awesome if Caleb was good. But just because you read about him being a generational talent, you have to be careful, which is why if you look at the history of this podcast or the stuff that I've done on the air, whenever someone has presented that to me, what have I said? I've said, be careful. When people have told you that he's the next Patrick Mahomes. What did I tell you? Just wait. If he ends up being the next Patrick Mahomes, fantastic. The odds of him being the next Patrick Mahomes are long. Why? Because there's never been anyone like Patrick Mahomes in the history of the NFL. Some of this stuff is just logic-based, so it's frustrating for me. I am a bit of a logician. I would not put myself in the same category as my dad in that regard. But I need for people to try and see things logically. And I get that asking people that are fanatics about a team to be logical sometimes is a losing battle, but I still fight it anyway, which is actually illogical. But I still fight it anyway because I do think that people need to understand that, at least for me and the colleagues that I have at the station, this is not about hate. It's about what it is that we're hearing. And the other thing that I'll add to that is, just so I can give you a little bit more information on how some of this works from a media standpoint, everything that I know, I don't necessarily say. But it informs my opinion on things. I try to keep in mind the idea of, hey, someone said this to me unprompted. Why did they? That skepticism is important. Because there are a lot of people that are doing one source reporting. There are a lot of people who may hear something and just go, like they run with it. And you have to be, and I'll give you the inverse of that. If you go back to the draft, I had so many people, and you guys know, like, you know, I felt like the industrial draft complex had Caleb way up here and everyone else, every other quarterback was down here. And what I said was, are we sure that that's the gap? Because I've watched a lot of Jaden Daniels, both at Arizona State and LSU. I've seen him up close a couple of times. And I think that gap is pretty close between those two guys. And because I said that, people have said to me that I hate Caleb Williams. And that's not true. And I offer you this evidence to back that claim up. Last year during the draft, I had countless college and NFL people hit me up, whether it was an email, a text message, or a DM. And there were a lot of people who just don't like that kid. Their experiences with him were not good, or they don't like his style. And my reflexive action to that is to go, huh. If the fingernail thing is the thing that bothers you, then we don't have a lot to talk about, because I believe in free expression. And if that young man wants to express himself that way and honor his mother by doing it and honor people that he's trying to stand up for from a bullying standpoint. And I know that my bias is being in a classroom with people who are Caleb's age. So while I wouldn't consider myself an expert, I am more informed than a lot of people when it comes to the habits of 21 and 22 year olds, how they think, how they interact, how they act out, all of this stuff. Because I have a whole bunch of emails from a bunch of 21 and 22 year olds about assignments and things that they can't get done, and this work is too much and all this stuff. And you're like, it's going to be fine. You can do all of these things. But I had a bunch of people just maligning that young man for stuff that wasn't even really football. And I don't think that it's, I don't want to do that type of work. That's dirty work to me. And so I stayed away from it and kept it football. That's what I try to do, is keep it football. And I think that there are some limitations to Caleb. Now, what impresses me about him is that last year was a real test of character. It won't be the only test of character, but it was a test. And I thought that he passed it. If you're saying maybe not from a pick up the pom-poms and root for the Bears, but did I turn a corner on Caleb? Yeah, to a certain degree, I did. Because he was learning how to play NFL football by himself. He had his teammates for some of it, but everyone there was like, ooh, this is not good. And no one should be learning in this type of environment. So I have a lot of respect for that. I have a lot of respect for the numbers that he put up last year, considering the environment. And this is the point that I want you to understand. This is the thing that, if you don't take anything else away from this particular episode, I want you to take this part away. I know that it's frustrating. I truly do. I've been here with you the whole time, whether I was covering the team or talking about the team. I've been here with you. I understand all of those things that you're seeing and you're feeling about this franchise overall and the desperate need to get someone at the quarterback position that is going to rise up. You want Jaden Daniels. I get it. You want the first year of C.J. Stroud. By the way, if you watch C.J. Stroud in year two, wasn't as good. Why? Because his offensive line wasn't good and because defenses had a lot more tape on him. I think we rush quarterbacks because everyone knows what the salary cap looks like and the value. Everyone thinks that they're GM now. The value of being good on a rookie contract because of what that means when you have to actually pay a quarterback. It means you can't pay all the other people that are on your roster that helps to make your roster good. So everyone wants the dream scenario of Russell Wilson. It's hard to get there. And I think a lot of quarterbacks are being underdeveloped because they're on a clock. They're on what's an arbitrary clock. And that's how someone like Baker Mayfield slips through the cracks. We go one of one, right? The number one pick overall. Another guy who's coached by the same guy who coached Caleb. Things don't work out. He's in a really bad situation in Cleveland, and it doesn't go well. And then he bounces around a little bit, and there's that magical night where he's playing with the Rams, where he just showed up that week. They just needed a quarterback, and Baker Mayfield showed up on Thursday Night Football and did some cool shit. Then he ends up in Tampa and has a 5,000-yard season. Or Geno Smith. There's a lot of examples of this. People act like quarterbacks can't get better at the pro level. Strangely enough, there's a lot of examples of guys getting better. Look at what happened in Minnesota last year. That's three stories that I've given you in just last season. I'm hopeful because I really like Justin Fields. I'm hopeful that he's going to have a resurrection like that. I don't know if it'll happen for the Jets, but I stay hopeful in that regard. With Caleb, it's not surprising to me that he's struggling. He's kind of supposed to struggle right now. And this is the thing. This is where I'm at on this. And you can join me here if you want. When you really think about it and think about it this way, Caleb has to unlearn and learn at the same damn time. Unlearn and learn at the same damn time. He's got to unlearn all the nonsense that went on last year with the Bears as an organization. He's got to unlearn it. He's got to unlearn an offense. He has to unlearn most of the stuff that he did in college because they're not doing that now. He's not doing that. Lincoln Riley wasn't running under center play action stuff with Caleb. They were running shotgun and pistol. And guess what? It's a different world from where you come from. when you are doing those two different acts. I know to us, it's just football. It's like, well, I play it in the backyard. It's different. It's different. And anyone who has been around football will tell you that it's different. And so if he's struggling right now, it makes sense. That being said, it still needs to be covered. And that part needs to be told. It doesn't mean that he can't grow into the quarterback that we all hope that he can be. It doesn't mean that this season is doomed. It doesn't even mean that if he struggles at the beginning of the season, that you need to start thinking about options and backup. None of that stuff. This guy is basically a rookie again. And I'm sorry that you have to deal with this, but you do. And if you want to take that ire out on the Bears because they got shit wrong, okay. Okay. But there's going to be a lot of bumpiness. And I know you're tired of it. You were tired of it with Justin. You were tired of it with Mitch. And you're ready to move on from whoever. Even if the reports are not sparkling, even if this weekend Caleb Williams doesn't look great in the game against Buffalo, you can be discouraged in the moment. I don't think that that means that you have to make, you don't have to make any sort of prediction. To a certain degree, that's our job, and it's one of the parts of the job that I absolutely hate. You, as a consumer, you as someone who is a fan of the Bears, you don't have to run out with the fastest take. I don't know why you guys do it, but you do it. You don't have to be the "I was right about Justin Fields" guy. Leave that to the professionals. Let us look stupid. You don't have to jump into a "they need to start over. I said it first." You don't need to do that. It's okay. And it's okay to be mad, like, while you're watching the game, the emotion of watching the game, like, I'm here for it. We play into it. We have a lot of fun with that, with the GIFs. And I say GIF, damn it. But just because things don't look quite right, there might be a method to the madness of Ben Johnson that we don't know yet, because we don't know if he can coach. There's a lot of unknowns here. And it's okay for you to be optimistic about it, but don't let that optimism blind you. Even if you, like, pick whomever on the beat. Like, let's say it's Kevin Fishbane. If you, like, well, Fishy Business is always so negative about the Bears. He's not. But I'm just using him as an example. He's one of the more neutral people that we have covering teams in Chicago, which is the point. If you think that him saying, "here's what I saw," because it's not just the people who are saying this about Caleb, it's not just that they saw it. It's that they followed up and asked questions about it to people who know football better than they do. And then you take that and then you talk to other people around football that you have access to, and you ask them what they say. And then you compare and you present that to the audience. Try to give Caleb a little bit more grace. To go back to what I was saying at the beginning of this thing about patience and Axl Rose. He has to unlearn and learn at the same damn time. Now, there might come a point where Ben Johnson is so frustrated that he's willing to move on. I don't think that we're even close to that being a discussion yet. And that is from my history of covering and watching football and talking to people around football. Some of this is designed to be this way, and it's okay. I would tell you that you should be, the history of it is you should be more concerned when you hear everything is going great. There are no problems. He's amazing. He's the next Patrick Mahomes. I would tell you that those are red flags about training camp. Him failing in a system that is, to a certain degree, designed for him to fail, that's pretty normal. The length of this episode is not very normal, but we have a baseball game and probably won't have much of a show today. And I felt like talking to you unencumbered. I'm Lawrence Holmes, and I approve this message. I hope you enjoy the episode. For those of you listening on Spotify or Apple, we love you. Give us 5 stars and write a review. It helps with the placement of the podcast. And come and subscribe to the House of L YouTube page. Thanks to Remy Martin. No, I have not been drinking Remy Martin today, and that's why the episode was long. Although it's a perfect day for it. A little Remy and ginger beer with a lemon twist. It's a perfect day for it in the city, beautiful. I hope that you have a wonderful day. And for those of you who don't like me, I hope that you have the day that you deserve. I will talk to you next time. Peace.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.